This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Praise God. We are on a series this month on the power of words. Amen? And how many people are beginning to get a handle on your speaking? Amen? And speaking is not just for communication, and it's not just for observation. A lot of times we use it for communication and observation. You know, if the weather's raining, you say it's a bad day, right? And if it's sunny, you say it's a good day, right? No, we don't need to be observing using our communication that way. We can, but we need to be using our communication to move our lives forward in God. Amen? Do you believe that today? That your words can move you forward into the things that God wants you to move forward into. And so I believe that today. So our words will either connect us to faith or fear. Have you ever read the Bible, read a promise, and it gave you some faith? Amen? And have you ever dealt with any kind of circumstances, and then, you know, the thoughts come to you, what am I going to do? Have you ever had that thought, what am I going to do? And then what the enemy will try to do is put fear on you. And then if we say out of our mouth, what are we going to do? Then we're opening the door to fear out of our words. Amen? So our words can produce faith. So you're either operating in faith or fear. Amen? Believing or doubting. So we have to operate in faith. Faith is the key that pleases God. You believe that today? So our words connects us to faith or fear, blessing or curse. That's our words connects us to these things. And I'm going to say this to you this morning, that you are the architect of your life. Yes. And what I mean by that is that an architect makes blueprints of, say, if you're going to build something, they normally make the blueprints. It costs a lot of money to hire an architect to make the blueprints. And so they draw up your vision of what you want for whatever that architect is helping you build. And so your words is kind of like what the architect does. Your words builds a blueprint. Can I go somewhere this morning? A blueprint for your life. And I don't know about you, but I want a good blueprint for my life. That's why you want to write down what you're believing God wants to do in your life. It's good to write it down so you can remind yourself. The Bible says people perish because they lack vision. Amen. And they perish because they don't keep their eyes on their vision. I'm going somewhere this morning. In other words, you got to keep looking at the promises of God's word. Keep reminding yourself. Why? Because we can easily forget. Yeah. Is that right? You can easily forget. And so we can chart our lives by the words that we speak. And we want to speak faith-filled words. Amen? And so I like what James said. And these are scriptures that we've been going with all month. And he's talking about that you can move in a certain direction with your words. He talks about bits in horses' mouths or rudders on ships. And he talks about this, and actually you could say it this way: your tongue is your steering wheel of your life. In other words, what you say today will be the direction that you move in tomorrow. So what are you saying? That's the good question you need to ask. What am I saying out of my mouth? Am I saying negative things? Am I saying I'm not going to make it? Am I saying I don't know what's going to happen with my children? I don't know. No, no. Great peace that your children will have. Why? Because you're praying for them. So you're covering your children with prayer. Amen. And God's looking after your children. You believe that today? So you need to start believing that your children are being covered by your prayers. Amen. And then Proverbs 18:20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips he shall be filled. So this tells me that if you want increase You need to start speaking increase from your lips. God wants us to increase. Amen. Last week we focused on taking dominion with your words. How many people that received that message last week are taking more dominion in your life over the circumstances that are attacking your life? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. In other words, some of you might be looking at your bank book and you may not like what's on that bank book or looking at your account. Well, you need to start calling your bank account full. Amen. Amen. Why? Because God wants you to have a full supply. How many people believe that God wants you to have a full supply? He doesn't want you barely making it. And so we talked about last week that God gave man decrees. Say, I have a decree. And so God had given man decrees when he created mankind. We're made in God's image. And I talked to you last week that we're speaking spirits. Somebody say, I'm a speaking spirit. And so you know, the devil can't control your tongue. Amen. And your flesh doesn't have to control your tongue. You can be led by the Holy Spirit to be led by what to say on a day-to-day basis. And the more you say the right things, the more right things will happen. So when God created us, He gave us decrees. First, He said, He blessed mankind. And I'm going to say this to you today. You are blessed. Amen. No matter what you're dealing with, God has blessed you. And then it goes a little deeper than that. Because in Galatians, it says that because Jesus went to the cross, He gave us eternal life, that we have the blessings of Abraham. Amen. So that in order for the blessings of Abraham to come on the Gentiles, and that's in Galatians 3:13. And so we have the blessings of Abraham. You know, one of the blessings of Abraham is long life. And you know what? You have the grace to walk in long life. With long life, the Bible says God will satisfy you and show you His salvation. Somebody say long life. Especially if anybody's over 60 in here. Amen. Glory to God. We got long life. Amen. And I like this. So we are blessed. No matter what circumstances we're going through, we're blessed. I say this quite often, and you know, you guys should say this when people ask you how you're doing. You should say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Don't say, well, I'm going through this and I'm going through that and I'm going through this. No, don't start talking about what you're going through. No, just say you're blessed. Yesterday I was over at Whole Foods, and I ran into a guy that works out at my gym, and he says, how are you doing? And I said, I'm blessed. He said, tell me about your blessings. And I said, how long do you got? I started telling him about everything that God's doing and how God might be putting us on national TV pretty soon. And we're looking into Kenneth Copeland Ministries where we might be on their network. And Yin's working on the TV production. Eve, last night she was working on our TV production, glory to God. And Pastor David might be national pretty soon. And you're going to say, I remember Pastor David when he was just, just... A pastor of a nice, powerful, and I'm going to say large church. Amen. Somebody say we're growing. Yeah, sometimes when I'm talking to people and I'm talking about our church, I say, yeah, I pastor a little church, and God's checking me on it. Stop saying that. No, you're pastoring a large, growing church. If we can all say the same things. If we all can get in agreement, guess what's going to happen? People are going to flood in this place. Amen. Amen. We may even have an opportunity of expanding this place because the smoke shop's going down in smoke. They're going out of business. And somebody said, the smoke shop's going out of business. I said, oh, darn. I didn't say that. I kind of tapped my heels for glee. Amen. And but the smoke shop's going out. They're going out in smoke. Amen. But praise God. And the landlord said, he contacted us and said, do you want to expand? And we're thinking, maybe we might need to expand, glory to God, because Christian can get pretty loud back there. Amen. We might need another wall in between Christian and the church. Amen. And so, God, say, I am blessed. Amen. And then he gives mankind these keys. He says for us to be fruitful. He says for us to multiply. He says for us to fill the earth. He says to us to subdue it and have dominion. And I focused last week on the fact that we need a subdue and take dominion. Do you remember that message? We need a subdue and take dominion. But I still feel led to focus on a couple other key things that God spoke to mankind and decreed for us to walk in. He wants us to be fruitful and to multiply.
Amen.
Somebody say fruitful and multiplication. I like to say it this way. God's into addition and multiplication. The devil's into subtraction and division. The devil wants to subtract. He wants to take away and he wants to divide. But God adds and God multiplies. Do you believe that today? You might say, well, Pastor, that's talking about having kids. You know, that's about kids. No, it's more than just having kids. It's expanding the kingdom of God. God wants us expanding the kingdom of God. In other words, yes, in a sense, more kids, more children into the kingdom. When you get Jesus in your life, you become a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
Can I get an amen there? Amen. And God wants his, do you believe that God wants his kingdom expanding?
Yeah.
He doesn't want an empty heaven. He wants a full heaven, glory to God. And I love that. And he wants us to be fruitful. And he wants to multiply us. Amen. And so God's blessing on our lives is to be fruitful. Fruitful, Webster's definition, it means this, is yielding or producing, conducive to abundant yield or abundantly productive. I love that. So to be fruitful, we're yielding and we're producing. We have an abundant yield. And we're abundantly productive.
Amen.
So that's what God wants us. That's what he wants every day. He wants us to be abundantly productive. And he also wants to multiply us. And that means to increase in number, especially greater way. So to increase in number greatly. And so God wants us increasing. Look at your name and say, God wants you increasing. And so the only way or the main way we're going to increase is by speaking words of increase and not words of decrease. In other words, you're going over and you're not going under. We need to be speaking words of increase. You're not getting sicker. You're getting healthier. Amen. And you're not walking in hurt. You're walking in healing. I used to say stuff like this, and it started affecting my body. I used to say that really hurts me, or you're really hurting me, and it just off the cuff, I would say stuff like that, and then my body started hurting, and I stopped saying that. Oh, that really hurts me, you know, and I'm just saying it as just joking, just jesting. Anybody ever jest out here? You got to be very careful with your jesting, because your jesting can get you in trouble. You know, just saying things that you don't really mean. We're just jesting, trying to be funny, but jesting can hurt you. Do you believe that today? So, you know, don't be saying I'm dumb as a box of rocks. You know what I'm saying? Don't be saying I'm dumb. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't be saying things like that. Why? Because you don't want to be dumb as a box of rocks. I'm fat, dumb, and happy. You know, don't be saying things like that. Why? Because in God you have all wisdom. Jesus is your wisdom. You may say, I don't know what to do. Yeah, but the Holy Spirit in you knows what to do. And if you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, he will show you what to do. Like come to church every Sunday morning. He will show you what to do. So really, You have a choice every day to speak death or life. And the Bible says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who love it will eat its fruit. Have you ever heard the saying, you are what you eat?
Yes.
You are what you eat. In other words, you become what you love to talk about. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. You become what you love to talk about. Now, if you love to talk about the Lord and His Word and the promises, guess what you're going to become? You're going to become more like the Lord. If you're talking, you know, you whatever you love to talk about, that's what you're going to become. So I want to talk about the promises of God's Word coming out of my mouth. I want to talk about how much I love God. And I want to talk about how much God loves me.
Yes.
Oh, how He loves me.
And
I want to talk about it. God loves me and I love Him.
Amen.
And we love each other and we're in a great relationship.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to talk again. And you should be talking to God every day. And when you wake up, you say, oh, Lord, I love you so much. I worship you. You're so good. Thank you for giving me another day of life. And you should be talking to God and you should be whispering love sonnets to God. And guess what He will do? He will start whispering love sonnets to you. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God loves you? He loves you, the Bible says, with an everlasting love. Do you know He has so many good things for us? Not when we just get it. Most people say, if I can just hold out until I get to heaven, then everything will be fine. I will be on streets of gold. I'll be in my mansion. You know, you can get a mansion down here. Amen. You can be blessed down here. You don't have to wait. If I can just hold on, then all my troubles will go away. No, you can get rid of some of your troubles today. Do you believe that? Your words can cause your troubles to go away. Do you believe that today? And so you don't have to wait to heaven to get to heaven to have a good time. You can have a good time down here. You don't have to wait to heaven. But some people, theology is, if once we get to heaven, you know, they have songs singing, let's get to heaven. But this old world has nothing. Yeah, but God has given us the things of this world to enjoy. He says to enjoy all things. We can enjoy some things as long as those things don't become idols in our lives. And what's an idol? It's something that you're not willing to let go of if God tells you to let go of it. That's an idol. That's something, in other words, something that you're putting above God. An idol is something. We don't want to have idols in our lives. We don't want to be putting anything. Even success can be an idol. Hello, I'm talking to somebody today. And I'm talking to you today about success, so we're going to continue. God desires for us to keep increasing and multiplying every day of our lives. I like this. This is one area He wants us to multiply in, and that's grace and peace. How many people want to multiply in God's grace and His peace? If you say no, you're in trouble. Because you need God's grace every day of your lives. And I'm telling you, there's so much turmoil in this world. The Bible says that in the end days, people's hearts will fail because of fear. But that's not going to be of us. We're not going to be so scared that we're going to have heart attacks. No, we're going to be walking in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. How do you do that, Pastor? You keep your mind stayed on Him. You keep your mind stayed on the Lord. See, it's funny. When I'm praying and I got my mind on the Lord, I'm spending some time in God's presence, I sense His peace. The less I spend in God's presence, the less peace I sense. Have you ever been there? Does anybody in here spend time praying? That's about four of you. Okay, amen. That's all of you. And you know what? And when you pray, when you come out of pray, or even when you come here to church and we have praise services like on Sunday nights, sometimes you'll come in even with sometimes with an attitude. But a lot of times when you spend time praising God, the attitude leaves, the stress leaves, and you're glad that you came out. Why? Because God's invading your life. And I'm telling you, more of God is more good. Do you believe that today? And so we need more God, and more God is more good. So God wants us increasing in grace and peace. It says in 2 Peter, it says, grace and peace be multiplied. There's that word multiplied. You can underline that. to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So how is grace multiplied? By us getting knowledge of God. So you being here in church, you listening to this broadcast will bring great and bring greater peace and greater grace in your lives. Amen? So so I want to talk to you about increasing in God. And God wants us increasing, and specifically in the area of finances. Do you believe that God wants you financially blessed? I believe that today. Boy, that's a strong yes. Amen. Some of you say, I think so. Amen. Not when I check my bank book. Hey, listen, God wants you blessed. He wants you financially blessed. We live in an economical world. Do you know that if you need some food, you might need to go to the store and buy some. If you need some gas, you need to buy some gas to put it in your car to travel places. We live in an economical world. Amen. And so I love this. It says here in Deuteronomy 8:18, giving a scripture on financial blessing. It says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. He gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it this day. So this is saying that he doesn't drop money down from heaven, because God's not a counterfeiter, but God will give you ideas. He will give you opportunities. He will give you things that you can do to get wealth. Do you believe that today? For instance, I've given this example before, but Yen's parents had a house in Portsmouth. They were living in Florida. They had two houses. They sold their house that they lived in Portsmouth, but they had another one. And they asked me and Yen, they didn't want to go through a realtor, but they asked me and Yen to help them sell it. And Yen and I are pretty, you know, we know how to do the Google search. Does anybody know how to do Google in here? And you say, how do you sell a house by yourself? You know, just Google it. And then you have all these things that tell you, this is how you do it. Step one, two, three, four. But I've sold houses. I had a house in Oklahoma. I sold that by owner. So I had some knowledge on it, and we helped sell that house. And you know what? We got blessed financially. It's probably one of the biggest financial blessings. Her parents gave us a financial windfall. And it was an amazing financial blessing. Probably it was in the thousands. And all we did, and we weren't asking for it. We weren't charging for it. We were just doing it out of love. See, when you start serving God out of love, when you start giving out of love, not being motivated to get, then you're going to see blessings in your life. Amen. I'm going to say again, when you are motivated to give out of love, not the motivation of greed to get, God will bless you. Amen. That's why whenever I minister, and I'm asked to minister sometimes in other churches, I never ask them for money. I just say whatever they want to do. In other words, I preach free. And if they want to give me something, that's up to them. Mm-hmm. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? Why? Because the gospel's free. Amen. And so what God gives me, I give you. Amen. And so I'm not requiring payment, glory to God. And then I find that God blesses me. Why? Because I'm giving out of a heart of love. Amen. And this is the key motivation. So God wants to release finances into us. And it says here that we may establish his covenant. So it's all connected. If God's going to bless you, then you got to have a heart to bless the kingdom. Amen. Yep. See, if you don't have the heart to give into the church and to bless the kingdom, then you don't have the right motives. Because if you have the right heart to give, then God's going to open doors of grace to give to you. So I'm going to say this, that God's blessings is not just speaking words of faith and saying, I'm increasing and getting those promises. His blessings come from speaking words and acting on his truth. Amen. So it's words and actions. Right. It cannot just be words only. You say, somebody say, I love God. But, okay, amen. But somebody can say, I love God, but they don't go to church, they don't read their Bible, and they don't have any Christian friends. I don't know if they love God. You know, their love for God is I don't see that love. Why? Because there's no practice of love in their life because they're not practicing on loving Jesus. When you love Jesus, you come to church. When you love Jesus, you give into the kingdom. When you love, it's all motivated by love. Can I get an amen on that? And I love this because everything is, the blessings of God is contingent on what we do. That's a good one. What? I thought it was, if I'm going to be blessed, God's just going to bless me. No, there's some things that you might have to do. In 1 Kings 17, 8 and 16, let's look at this story because this is powerful. It says here, I'll talk about Elijah, and this is a miracle that he performs. And it says, then when the word of the Lord came to him, came to Elijah, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there, and see, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And she was going to get it, and he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in the jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Boy, in other words, she was dealing with famine in her life. She was dealing with famine. And this is interesting. God sent Elijah to a widow woman that was dirt poor. That's interesting. Because they say that people that don't have a lot of money give more into the kingdom than people that do have money. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. There's people that don't have a lot of means. You know, the widow's mite. She gave all that she had. Jesus was looking at people giving into the offering. She gave all that she had. And so here, he was commanded, Elijah was commanded to go to a widow lady. Why? Because God wanted to get a blessing to the widow lady. I'm going somewhere today. God wants to get a blessing to you. God wants to bless you. What? But he's going to require something from you. What? Can I just confess the promises and be blessed? You can, but you're going to have to activate the promises by obeying the law of sowing and reaping or giving and receiving. You have to obey that law to receive what God... Am I talking to somebody today? And so here, Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. So, you know, if the news found out that I had a widow, you know, and I was trying to get her last penny, you know, that pastor's trying to take money from the widow. No, she's going to get blessed if she's giving into the kingdom of God. She's going to get back. And so he says here, make a small cake for myself and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth. It was a famine. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her household ate for many days. The bin and the flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken by Elijah. So we see here that God wants to get a blessing to each one of us, but we have, you know, you release what's in your hand, God will release what's in his hand. I'm going to say it again. You release what's in your hand, God can bless what's in your hand. In other words, God can take the little that we give him, and he can multiply it. Amen. Do you believe that today? So God says this. God says, hey, if you just tithe, if you give 10% and give some offerings, I will multiply that and bless you so much that you will have so much abundance. I'm going somewhere today. That you'll be able to get more in the kingdom and bring more people in the kingdom to expand the kingdom. Because our finances are designed to do two things. To get the word of God out. The word of God is the most important thing in the universe. The word of God is the most powerful thing that we can give out to people. It's more powerful than money. But it takes money to get the word of God out. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? It takes finances to get the word of God out. I like what it says in John 6, 5 and 13. It said Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming towards him. He said, Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him. Do you think God ever, you know, gives us a faith test every once in a while? And it says here, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter, brother, said to him, there is a lad who has five barley loaves and two small fish. But what are they among so many? And then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. Think about this. He took what they gave them, he multiplied it back, and they ate as much as they wanted. In other words, God doesn't want you to have half supply. He wants you to have a full supply. And so they had as much as they wanted. But this is the kicker here. That boy provided, you know, fish and loaves. And it says they gathered up the fragments and it came out to 12 basketfuls. And possibly somebody said, who got those baskets? The kid that gave up his lunch. In other words, God's looking to multiply what we give him. But see, if you're not doing that, then and you're just speaking faith confessions of blessings, but you're not being obedient to the law of giving and receiving, then you're not going to see what God wants you to have. I believe that God wants you abundantly blessed, more than you can ask or think. He doesn't want you worrying about money. See, that's the problem why we tend to hold back, because we have a concern we're not going to have enough for ourselves. But I'm going to say this, trust God and put your trust in him and he will do it. Let me give you a psalm here that's powerful. It says here in Psalms 112, it says here, praise the Lord, blesses the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commands. So he's saying the blessing of the Lord comes from those who fear God. When you hear the word fear God, it's not being afraid of God. It's having a reverential fear of God. It's saying a holy awe of God. In other words, you're putting God on the highest level in your life. In other words, he's top priority in your life. You reverence God. God's first place. And then it says here, when you fear God, that means that you obey God. When you fear him, you obey him. He says, your descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. So God said, not only when you fear God, you're going to be blessed, but your children are going to be blessed. Can somebody say amen on that? And then he says, wealth and riches. This is really powerful. It says here, wealth and riches will be in your house, and his righteousness endures forever. This I'm not telling you that you're supposed to be rich. The Bible's telling you you're supposed to be rich. It says wealth and riches will be in your house. But Pastor, I'm not seeing it. Well, are you abiding by the law of giving and receiving, sowing and reaping? Are you operating in that law? And if you are, you will see it. You will see it. I've seen too many blessings in my life. Amen? And I've seen God's blessings in my life. And I love this because when you are financially blessed, it will remove the fear of lack in your life. I'm going to say that again. When God starts pouring out blessings in your life, it should remove the fear. But sometimes you're going to have to cross the fear zone to give. You're going to have to say, God, I'm going to give even though it looks tight in my budget, but I'm going to give anyway because I'm going to trust you. And because I trust you and I don't trust my money or my bank account, or the government, I trust you. I know you're going to abundantly supply all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. I love this because it says here, God wants to bless us to be a blessing. Yes. And so it says here in Psalms 112, 5, once you're blessed, it says a good man deals gracefully and lends, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. So that means that when you are financially blessed, you have the ability to lend, number one. Number two, it says in Psalms 112:9, when you're blessed, you have the ability to give more to the poor. And so it says here in Psalms 112:9, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever, his horn will be exalted with honor. So we see this, that lending or helping people and giving to the poor promotes the blessings of God in our lives. So when you're giving and you're giving, you're sowing your tithe, you're sowing your offering, you might want to confess some faith scriptures while you're doing that. Or when you're writing your check and you're going to say, I'm going to give this to the church, you might want to give this scripture. You might want to pray this prayer. When you write your check, say, I thank you, Lord, that as I give, it's given back to me, pressed down, shaken together, and what running over shall be put in my bosom. That's from Luke 6:38. So you might want to confess that scripture over your giving. When I give, it's given back to me. That's scripture. Also, there's another scripture that says, but he who, this is 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, he who says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as his purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we don't give out of fear that God's going to knock us over the head if we don't give. We give out of cheer. Amen? We give out of a heart of love. And then once we do that, it says God is able. Somebody say God is able. And it says God is able to make all grace abound towards us and all sufficiency and all things that we may have in abundance for every good work. So when we're giving, we could also pray this prayer. We could say, thank you, Lord, I'm a cheerful giver, and you are able to make all grace abound towards me, that I may have sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. You can speak the word of promises over your giving. Pastor, are you sure about this? Yes, I'm sure about that. You start doing these things, what you're doing is watering your faith and believing God for increase. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? You know, the Philippian church blessed Paul and in the Philippian church. And it said, and when he blessed Paul, and Paul wrote this to him, he said, may God supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And it was all contingent on them blessing him or blessing his ministry. It was contingent. He said that God supplies, supplies all your need according to his riches and glory. Why? By the amount that you give into the kingdom. Amen? So that's how he supplies. See, I'm going to say this to you today. Some of you are living possibly just enough life. But God wants you living more than enough of life. He doesn't want you scraping the barrel. He doesn't want the barrel, you know, on top of you. He wants you on top of the barrel. Amen. Do you believe that today? And I believe some of us could be forfeiting, I'm going somewhere this morning, the blessings that God has for our life because we're holding back on giving into the kingdom. I'm going somewhere today. See, I pray that God gives me boldness. Amen. First, I pray that God gives me favor with you guys. So when I'm preaching to you, you don't get upset and say, I'm not coming back to this church. All they wanted you to do is give. No, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. The church is doing well. Everything's going well. But I want you to be blessed. I want this to be for your account. Why? Because God may want you to be 10 times greater than you are today. Do you believe that today? Do you think God can make you 10 times greater? What, you know, in other words, maybe some of you might be believing, maybe you don't have a house, but God's believing that you're believing God for a house. Maybe God wants you to have a nice house. Amen. And maybe you do have a nice house, but God may, but you're believing for maybe a summer house in Florida. Well, it's not against God's rules or his word for you to have two houses. Are you here? Is that okay? Is it okay? You think God's okay with people owning two homes? Yeah, because Jesus actually said it. He said that if you give into the kingdom, this is in Luke, when the guy came to him and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, this man money was his problem, so Jesus said sell everything because that was his idol. He won't require that of everybody, but some people, if your money's your idol, he may require you to give some of it away. Amen? But this is the key here, that the disciples said, then who can be saved? He said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He didn't say a rich man can't enter the kingdom of God. He said it's hard because most rich people, they depend on their money. Their money is their God. But Jesus is our Lord, and God our Father is our God, and we trust him, and we don't trust money. But Jesus did say that if you give it up for the kingdom, you will have return houses and lands, brothers and sisters. Amen. So he did say houses. He didn't say one house. So what I'm saying, it's okay to have two houses. Well, are you hearing what I'm saying today? As long as your heart is right and it's for the kingdom of God, and you let the pastor stay in that house in Florida every once in a while. You use that house to bless the pastor. Amen. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, are you hearing what I'm saying today? I'm saying that God wants you blessed. But he doesn't want fear ruling you. Most people don't give because they're afraid. Is that right? Come on. Because you're afraid you're not going to have enough. But God will supply your needs. I'm telling you, every tither that I know never regretted tithing. Everybody I know, and every tither I know is always blessed. They always have more than enough. Amen. It's the ones that don't tithe that seem to be scraping the bottom of the barrel. That's right. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And so I love this, and I'm closing out my message today because I believe God wants us to increase, and this is powerful, and I'm closing out on this point here on a prayer of increase. How many people want to pray a prayer of increase and see supernatural increase in your life? So you need to use your words to pray increase. Let's look at this. I call this the prayer of increase or the prayer of blessing. And it's in 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And I love this part of the story here. So God granted him his request. This is powerful. God granted him his request. The first key to Jabez receiving God's blessings in his life, in other words, God promoted him and blessed him and increased him and enlarged his borders. And the first key, it says that he was an honorable man. He was an honorable man. If you want to see the blessings of God in your life, you need to be an honorable person. You need to honor. What does that mean, Pastor, being an honorable person? That means that you're honoring God's word. That means you're honoring his decrees. That means that you're obeying him. What, Pastor? That when you honor God, you obey him. Would you agree with that? Honoring God is obeying him. And I love this. It says here, so we need to honor him through attitude and through our attitudes and through our attitudes and what we do. Amen? And I love this. So we need to honor him in these areas. And it says in Isaiah 1:19, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the best of the land. This is Amplified. So I believe that Jabez was willing and obedient. He had a willing heart. He loved the Lord, and he was obeying God to the best of his ability. And so when you're walking in an honorable place and you're obeying God to the best of your ability, you're going to see God's blessings in your life. And I believe another key to him being more honorable than his brothers, because I believe he walked in what I call the honor principle. And the honor principle is this. When you honor God, that means that you're given the first and the best of what comes into your life. In other words, God's first. In Proverbs 29, 3, 9, and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your... This is the Amplified Classic. I went to the next level today for you guys. Amen. Instead of the King James or New King James Version, the Amplified Classic. I don't know if they got it up there. And it says here, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency, from your righteous labors and with the first fruits of all your income, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So I believe that Jabez honored God like Abraham honored Melchizedek. Amen? Abraham honored Melchizedek, which Abraham won a victory in a war, got his nephew back, and he tithed to Melchizedek. Abraham was a tither. And so I believe Jabez was a tither. That was a key for the blessing to be in his life. And so it says here, Jabez walked more honorably. So he did that. And then he prayed a prayer. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, this is powerful. See, you need to be praying prayers like this. You need to be praying bigger prayers. Some of us, our prayers are not big enough. And we need to start praying God will do something amazing in our lives. That God will start doing something amazing in our children's lives. That God will start doing something amazing. In other words, that God would just bless us so much that we got to find places or people or church or ministries to give to.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? He wants to bless us that much. Do you believe that today? And Jabez says, oh God, like, oh God, will you bless me indeed? I just don't want average blessing. I just don't want what everybody else gets. I want to stand above everybody. I want to get to that next level. I want to go higher. I want to be in that top 1%. Glory to God. Can you get there? I believe God can bring you in that top one. He said, bless me indeed. So Jabez prayed, God bless me indeed. Glory to God. So this prayer, I believe this. When you're asking God for the great, for the blessing indeed, he's saying, God, give me your highest and your best. He's saying, God, give me your highest, and I want your highest and best in my life. I don't want to just get by. I just don't want to have a regular, ordinary life. I want something more. I want greater in my life. Am I connected to anybody today? And this is the prayer we need to be praying. Lord, I want to stand out for your kingdom. I'm asking you for the highest and best for my life and for my family's life. Number one. Number two, he said, enlarge my territory. This means to expand our influence to help more people. You see, our influence is to help more people. And so God wants to expand your influence. And so so why? Because we want to be able to bring people closer to Jesus. And so this would be the prayer that you need to pray for this. Oh, Heavenly Father, please expand my opportunities and my impact in such a way that I touch more lives for your glory. Let me do more for you. And you can say, well, Pastor, I'm not like you. I'm not out there. I can't talk in front of a group of people. I'm not all that. You know, I'm a quiet, reserved person. You can be a quiet, reserved person and still affect people with the kingdom of God. You got a phone. You can text messages. You can tell people. We have a lady right here that goes to our church. Amen. My mom's neighbor. And she gets my messages and she re-preaches them. Glory to God. She tells me, Pastor, I'm preaching your messages. I thank God. I said, did you get an offering? No, I'm kidding. But so she's preaching messages. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be expanding the kingdom. It's all about expanding, increase the kingdom of God. So I love that. So that prayer is, please expand my opportunities. Amen. In other words, an opportunity could be you at the grocery store, standing in line. Somebody doesn't have enough money to pay their groceries, but you are abundantly blessed. And you buy their groceries for them and tell them that Jesus loves them. That's being abundantly blessed. That's what kind of life God wants us living. Not a selfish life. Not a self-centered life. Not a life, well, it's all about me. No, it's not all about you. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about others. Are you going to get out of yourself? Or you can get out of the smallness of yourself and get into the bigness of God? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then he says here that your hand would be upon me. And I love this because this is a prayer that I pray all the time. And this means that God's anointing will be on your lives. What is God's anointing? Boiled down, God's anointing on life is His presence and His power on your life. That's what His anointing is. His presence and His power on your life. And I got to have more of God's presence, and I got to have more of God's power. I got to have more of God. I got to have His presence. Moses said, if you don't go with us, we're not going anywhere. Because God said to Moses, I'll send an angel. But God was a little irritated with the children of Israel. They kept complaining. And God said, listen, I'm not going with you to the land. I'm going to send an angel. And Moses said, no, don't do that, God. No, if you don't go with us, we're not going anywhere. We got to have you. And so God is much better than an angel. Angels are good. God uses angels. But God is much better. God will go with us. Amen? And so I love that. So we need to be praying that prayer that God will continue to anoint us and increase the anointing on our lives. Amen? And when we pray that prayer, I believe God's grace will increase in our lives. Number four key is that God will keep us from doing any evil or from operating in any evil. Amen? This is key, because I'm going to say this. When God blesses people, I'm closing down here. When God gives you the blessing and you're walking in financial blessing, you got a great job, you got money coming in, a lot of times we get prideful. We think we got it by our own power. We don't realize God got it for you, that God opened the door. And you start thinking, this is mine. I have mine, right? And I got this, and I'm going to keep it for myself. Don't think that way. It's God that gives you power to make wealth. Amen. And so when you get successful, in other words, don't forget about God. Because He got you on top. If He can bring you on top, the Bible says He exalts kings and He puts other kings down. So God can exalt a person, or the grace can wane in a person's life. And I don't want the grace waning in my life. And so the temptation when we are successful, we get in pride and we get in greed. And we got to be careful with pride and greed in our lives. And people that get successful, they're like shooting star, sometimes ministers. They get really big. They end up falling. Why? Because they got in pride. They thought they were untouchable. And they had a moral failure, or they do something wrong, and then they were a shooting star. They were up high, everybody saw them, and then they dropped down. See, that's not going to be Pastor David. I'm telling you, God's taking me the slow and steady course. In other words, slow and steady. Fast and fragile, slow and steady. So God's taking me slow and steady. In other words, He's going to make sure when I get up there, I'm going to stay humble. Amen? And when you stay humble, when you're up there and you stay humble and you stay thankful and you realize it's only by God's grace you where you're at today, then you keep giving God grace, you keep giving Him thanks, you keep giving Him praise, and guess what? You keep what you have, you stay on top, and you keep moving forward. Did you receive it this morning? Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your mercies and Your goodness and Your love. I thank You, Lord God, that You want each one of us to increase and to go further in You. I thank You, Lord God, that You want us to have a full supply. And Father God, we know that Your word says shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken, wholeness. And that's what You declare and You desire in our lives. Father, I thank You for every person that's listening and watching. And perhaps you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To walk in the blessings of God, you got to have the blesser in your life. And the blesser is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Put Jesus on the throne of your heart. And you can do that by confessing this simple prayer and mean it in your heart. Just say this. Say, dear God, I believe, Jesus, You died on the cross for my sins. I believe You were raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive You as my Lord and Savior. Thank You for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.